What's up, people? Adam Hunter here, giving you a brand new podcast on Rockfin, because you endorsed me on rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. Today we're talking to a girl who is ranked number 6 in the world as an amateur. She's got her first pro fight coming up. Her name is Katie Perez. Can't wait to talk to her. Beautiful, half Cuban, fun, energetic, awesome. This girl's the future. Let's talk to Katie Perez right now. Trap, sons, and trap, don't some trap, don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөг чим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа бууруу таа.
Hey! Hey, what's up? So we're talking to Katie Perez. Sorry, I got the times messed up. I was in California, and then I'm in South Carolina now, and I got a baby, and she's one, and I don't even know where I am half the time.
But, no worries.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. And you?
Good. So I guess your manager reached out to me. He said I got this blue chip fighter, Katie Perez. She's ready for her pro debut. She's 4-1. Is this all true?
Yep.
So tell me about yourself. So where did you grow up?
Okay, so I was born in South Dade County, Miami. Grew up in Summerfield, North Carolina. No. My family just didn't want to raise kids in Miami. If you've been there, you might know why. So I grew up kind of in like a rural area of the Piedmont of North Carolina. It's kind of like dead center of the state. I went to University of the Mountains, and I've recently, in the last few years, moved back to the Greensboro area where I've been living and training and working.
Got it. I've been to Greensboro. I've done the Greensboro Comedy Zone a couple times.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a fun thing.
Yeah. So did you, when you were growing up, did you play sports? Were you like a tomboy? Did you do wrestling, like any combat sports, cheerleading?
Well, I always did. So I did martial arts when I was pretty young. My big brother started classes, and I sort of copied everything he did. So I got into Chinese Kempo through Mike Carr Karate, which is a fairly big school here in Greensboro.
Wow.
I always wanted to wrestle in high school, but my dad was like kind of against the idea of me rolling around in singlets with a bunch of high school guys. And in hindsight, I mean, I kind of get it, but at the same time, I'm like, I wish I'd had that experience, but it's all good because I ended up doing jiu-jitsu through high school anyhow.
Got it. Now, what is Chinese Kempo?
Chinese Kempo is a it's kind of derived from Northern Shaolin Kung Fu, so it's a Chinese art. It's characterized by really short, sharp movements. It's a pretty aggressive style. So it's a more traditional martial art. You know, like we wore full gis and belts and things like that. It was a pretty big deal. It was really balanced. You know, we had striking for, you know, obviously like more like point firing than MMA, but we had grappling, and we also did katas or forms. If you've done traditional martial arts, it's those like long form series of moves that you memorize.
Right.
I had a pretty sort of balanced martial arts experience, you know, very traditional format. And then when I was right around 14, they introduced a Brazilian jiu-jitsu program, and grappling had always been my favorite part of Kempo. So I still did Kempo, you know, I stuck it out and I became an instructor in the school. But my favorite class that I looked forward to was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and that's really what brought me back into martial arts. So I took some time off. You know, in college, I was focusing on my degrees and I was working a lot, had a bunch of life stuff go down, and I sort of fell away from, well, exercising in general, but martial arts, which always felt like this huge hole in my life. You know, martial arts was very much at the center of myself, of my identity, that I was comfortable with. And so not training was definitely a mistake, which I became aware of, you know, when I came back to it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I can breathe again. You know, I finally have it, like, perfect.
Know that you really wanted it to begin with, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So what kind of life stuff went down? That's a pretty big statement. Life stuff went down.
That's fair.
What happened?
you know, kind of like, you know, run of the mill, general crazy stuff. Like, obviously I went through college and graduated.
Boyfriends, or girlfriends, or was it partying too much, or drugs, or like that kind of stuff?
Okay, so not so much partying and drugs, because I was a sort of socially anxious sort of person. You know, it's funny because I did theater, and everyone thought I was pretty extroverted, but, you know, in reality, all I wanted was to, like, curl up with a book at home. I'm pretty much a awkward, socially anxious person, but so definitely not so much the partying. But I, you know, did get into a serious relationship and got to the point where we got engaged to a great guy that I have really fond memories of, and I hope he's doing well. It was just one of those things that it wasn't right. You know, we were sort of stagnating into the same person instead of growing and challenging each other and developing. And, you know, you're early mid-20s, that's the time you really want to be doing that. You know, you want to be growing. And you should always be growing as a person and developing.
But the best breakup I've ever heard in my entire life.
I mean, it was still emotionally tough because, you know, there's all that feeling there. There's, you know, all those bonds that you tie between people.
Right.
If you spend any length of time together, even if it's not romantic, you know, when you spend a lot of time with somebody, you have these bonds, yeah, between you, and anytime that, yeah, is strained or breaks or is pulled apart, it's painful. So yeah, I mean, it was an emotional time for me, but it was also probably the healthiest single choice I've ever made. So,
wait, breaking up with him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, so you broke up with him, you guys were engaged, you're going to get married, you're like, all right, this is not where I want to go, I need to get back into fighting.
Yep, pretty much, and threw myself headlong into it. I was extremely fortunate to have an amazing gym culture. You know, our coach, Graham Prue, he's awesome, not just as an instructor, like as someone who teaches you how to punch and kick and choke people, but like, as a true coach, you know, like he knows his students, he knows their lives, he knows their ups and their downs, what makes all of us tick, and promotes this really supportive environment where we're all there to help each other grow, to challenge each other, to support each other. And it's a really beautiful, amazing experience with this camaraderie, you know, it's awesome. And I love it.
I love that too. All right. So now we're living in North Carolina,
mm-hmm,
and you're teaching full time, or you have a day job, or dancing as a stripper. What's going on?
Definitely not dancing. So when I did theater, musical theater, I loved acting, and I loved singing, even though I was really like shy about it.
Yep.
And my professors will tell you that I tried to dance. Like, she tried very hard, is what they'll say. But I could never have been called a dancer. So that's not a available life opportunity for me. My day job is actually, it's been a number of things. I used to work a million part-time jobs, and I'm super fortunate now to have one full-time job with J&J Specialty Metals. I'm an iron worker for them, so I, you know, we mostly assemble stairs and railings, things like that, for structures.
Yep.
So I do a lot of cutting, grinding, welding, hauling steel, and that's my day. So it's a lot of fun because it's always building something. You know, I get to leave the job site seeing something created that wasn't there before that I get to be a part of. And it's physically demanding work, which is good for my training, you know, as far as staying in shape, staying strong, because I have to, or it won't be safe for me to go to work.
Of course.
And the best part of it all is my boss is like one of the most supportive people I've ever met and had the great fortune of having in my life. You know, he's really understanding of my training schedule, of the demands of, say, cut week, or, you know, right before, right after a fight, the time off required. So, I mean, I work with really great people. The crew is awesome, and my boss is incredible. I really appreciate him and all he does for me as far as letting me train, and letting me make a schedule that works for me. But so that's what I do. I'm an iron worker.
All right, look, you seem like a real badass. You're a fighter. You're a welder. you're tough as hell. You're beautiful, by the way. I mean, you're a very, very attractive woman, beyond attractive. So I could see why the men go crazy over you. I could see why they want to marry you at a very young age. Now,
well,
are you?
Oh, go ahead.
Now, when is this first pro fight?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry, the phone broke up.
Oh, no worries. When is the first pro fight you're gonna have?
So we're looking at November right now. There are a number on the table. You know, we've kind of been discussing and working things out with my coach, who's also my manager. You know, he's helping me figure out what the best course of action is. We've had a few false starts where people agreed to fights and then pulled out or had an injury or, you know, any number of reasons for things not happening. So, you know, I will go ahead and say I don't have anything set in stone right now. And I'm going to say I'm open to opportunities. My coach is really handling all of that for me though, I super appreciate it because it keeps the stress off of me. And it lets me just focus on training and being in my best shape, being in the best place mentally. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much looking at November right now.
Now, do you want to fight in Invicta or LFA? Are we looking at King of the Cage, Ryzen? Where are we looking at?
I would be happy to fight pretty much anywhere at this point. You know, we've had a bit of difficulty setting up my next fight. Finding there's not a whole lot of women in my weight class, or just people in general. we're small people, but that, you know, are active fighters. And then anytime that there's, you know, injuries or, you know, cross scheduling or for whatever reason, people can't come through. So yeah, I mean, at this point I'd be happy to fight for any promotion. Obviously I've got my sights set high. I just want to see how far I can take it. You know, I'm not doing MMA as a hobby. I'm not doing it for fun. I'm doing it for a career. I love it. I'm very passionate about it. I want to fight as much as possible. I recognize there's a time limit on this sport. I'm not going to be able to do it forever. And I want to get the most out of it.
How old are you now?
As much time as I get. I'm 26.
26, and you're a black belt in Kenpo Karate.
Mm-hmm.
And what belt are you in Jiu-Jitsu?
I am a purple belt in Jiu-Jitsu.
Purple belt in BJJ. All right. And how's your wrestling? Is that one of your strong suits?
As far as strong suits go, I've always focused on just being comfortable everywhere. If a fight is standing up, cool. I enjoy that. I enjoy the striking. If it goes to the clinch, if it goes to the ground, I'm confident in my ground game. I'm confident in my striking ability and my clinch game. Really, I mean, this is going to sound kind of like, I don't know, maybe inelegant or brutish, but I just love to fight. There's not like single part of it.
So eloquent, so brutish. Whoa. Come on, you're supposed to love to fight. What are you? Stop being so modest. It's going to get you nowhere. Okay, listen. You gotta be confident. That's great. That's what people want to see.
Okay. Well, I mean, I am definitely confident. It's I guess it's more expressing that or figuring out. I mean, like, again, like, it's not about having a strong suit for me. You know, if I'm not a game planner, you know, our whole gym, nobody game plans. Our game plan is to be the best and scariest fighter that you can be come fight day. You know, it's not about like, okay, so my opponent's a wrestler, so I'm going to do a lot of counter wrestling. I'm going to do a lot of takedown defense and this and that. And then she comes out the gate swinging hard and it's like, oh, I guess we're doing this now. So it doesn't make any sense for me to plan my fighting around someone else because my plan is to not let them do what they want to do anyway. You know, so I'm going to play my game and have my fun.
Got it. No, I love this. Now you're 3-1. You have three finishes?
I'm a 4-1. I have three finishes and one decision.
And then your loss was by?
Was by submission.
What happened?
To be 100% honest, and this is taking nothing away from my opponent because Samantha Seff is a great fighter. I, you know, enjoy her blog. She's a great writer and has some really cool things to say about the sport, about life, things like that. So I have a lot of respect for her now as a person. Going into that fight, I was afraid. I was afraid of her because I'd seen her grappling at jiu-jitsu when she was a purple belt and I was a blue belt, and I looked up to her. I put her on this pedestal, and I kind of I made her a bigger, scarier opponent than she was, which, and again, taking nothing away from her because she definitely is a talented fighter. She wouldn't be doing what she's doing. But I went into that fight with all fear and no respect. And then the bell goes off and we're fighting. And I realize, oh, she's a human. She's a fighter like me, you know, two arms, two legs and a head. There's nothing special or magical or crazy or weird going on here. It's just two people fighting. And I lost all of my fear, but I didn't have respect built up yet because, you know, that's normally part of the process is having that respect for your opponent. And because that wasn't in place, I made stupid mistakes and she capitalized. And, you know, again, complete respect to her. She did everything she should have done and she caught me in an armbar.
Well, it sounds like you learned a lot from that. And it also sounds, and you know what? And it was an amateur fight. So it was. That's what it's for. Amateur fights before this.
Yeah. I mean, all things told, it was probably the best thing that could have happened to me. And my reasoning for that is, you know, not just the recognition of that, the fact that, you know, the thing that burns to me about that fight is I don't know what a fight against her feels like because I lost it before I even walked out. I lost that fight in my mind before I ever walked out to the cage. So I feel like I cheated us both.
I've talked to thousands and thousands of fighters over the last like 10 years. And I've heard this many times. People say that. So
I believe it. But, so I mean, that burns in me and that, kind of like eats at me and motivates and drives me. But the most important part of that is, it made me really square up with my mental game. And we talk about it a lot in fighting. It's like 90% mental and 10% physical. And what does everybody do? Everybody trains physically super, super hard. We do strength and conditioning. We do, you know, obviously classes. We do, you know, skill-based things. We do hard workouts. We do shark tanks, things like that. So everyone does all this training physically, and we kind of neglect our minds. You know, we just kind of like you either have it or you don't, which is, you know, not the case. You know, our mind, you have to train it like every other part of you. And it made me really sit down and examine my self-talk and my motivation and my drive and my focus and my just how I viewed everything, how I talked to myself and how I can reinforce negative or positive aspects of my game purely with my own mind. So I've spent a lot of time focusing on that and buckling down and making a tool of it. And I never would have done that if I hadn't lost to her. Or maybe I would have, but it would have been later. And I'm grateful that I learned that lesson early.
Yeah, that's great. That's amazing. That is that's incredible. I think you're going to go a long way. I honestly do. Now, do you have a boyfriend or any men in your life?
No, at this time, you know, I'm really focused on training and focused on myself.
You
could say I have men in my life because most of my teammates are dudes.
Okay. are you on Tinder or Bumble or SoulSide? Yeah.
I'm actually not. And it's, you know, to be 100% like honest, you know, I just don't really have time. You know, all of my energy, I usually get up, you know, around 4:30 or 5, depending on the day, so I can drive to a construction site and work, and then I drive straight from there to the gym, and then I train until like 8:39 at night, and I get home and I, you know, prep and eat dinner and shower and go to sleep. Like that's my whole life. I don't have a whole lot to offer somebody who's not willing to, you know, be at the gym with me or be at work with me. And I kind of have a thing about, like, you know, workmates. It's just kind of no. So
you're like Rocky back in the day.
I mean, I guess, you know.
We got to get you an Adrian, though. We got to get you a guy, like, to, you know, that understands this. That's a nice guy, a good-looking guy, right? What are you looking for? Nerdy?
I feel bad doing that to somebody, honestly, at this point. Seriously, though, I'm all about my career, my training, my, you know, in a way, I am dating somebody. It's myself. You know, I'm as selfish or weird as that sounds. I'm for the first time in my life putting myself and my goals and my dreams and my passions first. And I would never want someone else to take away from their goals and dreams and passions to support mine. I want them to support themselves and find their own happiness. And, like, you know, if I can have a relationship with somebody where we can both do that, where we can be independently happy and also bring each other happiness. Okay, great. That's perfect. That's the ideal. But I lost a lot of time and a lot of emotional capital trying to be someone's everything. And I don't want that for anybody. I don't think anybody deserves that, or I don't think anyone should be responsible for anyone else's like mental health and sanity and emotional health. Like we're there to support each other. We're there to be there for each other. But that goes without saying in my friendships too. And in my relationships with my parents or my brother, or, you know, like everyone that I interact with, I choose to interact with, it should be healthy. It should be beneficial to both. I don't really like the idea of being tied down or having someone tied down to me. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Right. So you're into like open relationships, and, you know, you could do your thing and the guy could do his thing and that kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. I get it. You don't have time. You don't have time. I'm just saying, it just seems like, you know, everybody needs some type of, you know, hugging or kissing or in their lives or some type of affection, right?
Well, so we do hug at the end of class. Like everyone goes around and like tells each other, you know, good training or thank you or whatever. And we usually kind of do like a dap up and hug. So that's kind of cool.
Exactly.
Get my hugs in.
Sure, of course. Now you, I'm looking at your pictures right now. You had a pretty badass mohawk, but it was like not a real, it's like a half mohawk, half, what is it? What would you call this?
I guess it, like non-symmetrical. I don't know. It's kind of funny. I asked my coach to do it. I was like, you know, would you shave the side of my head? And he's like, sure, I guess. And so he did that. He actually cuts a couple people's hair at the gym, either right before fights or, you know, just randomly for fun, kicks and giggles.
Okay.
And, I loved it. It's something I always wanted to do, you know, something kind of like edgy and out there. I've always been like dyeing my hair crazy colors. And for a number of years, I cut my own hair. But it was always, you know, kind of between like scruffy looking pixie cuts and just kind of letting it grow out and then adding in layers and stuff like that. I'd never done anything that wasn't like traditionally feminine. And so shaving like, you know, the quarter or the side of my head was something I just really wanted to do almost for the defiance of it. And I love it. So it's kind of become a bit of a tradition. Anytime somebody fights, coach will recut my hair, and like it's just like a cool thing. It's kind of a nice trust exercise too. You know, you let somebody at your head with clippers. You're like, hey, I trust you. You got this.
In the corner of one of the craziest interview people I've ever done in my life, Sheena Starr.
She's awesome.
Like that person in my life. I mean, she got between like the boxcar races to mud racing to, she's like, I mean, it's just a bare knuckle to a record of like 3 and like 84. It just goes on and on. And she's a this and she's a that. And she's a cut person. And the Hillary Clinton is a cunt shirt. And it's just, it goes all over. I love her though. I can't help it. I said she should get her own reality show because I've never met anyone like that.
I would watch the crap out of that show. I love Sheena.
Oh my God.
She's amazing.
She's like next level. I mean, I can't, is she really that kind of off center, or is that an act or what?
I don't think there's any part of that woman that's an act. Everything about her is so genuine, and that's what makes her so lovable, is that she's just real. And she's not afraid to say anything, whether it's going to offend you, whether it's going to make you laugh. She doesn't, like, take your feelings into account. She's going to say what she's going to say, and I love her for it. Like, she's really, truly genuine. She's, you know, crazy energetic, and she's just got all of this. I mean, I guess energy is the word, but she pours that energy into everything she does. So, like, nothing feels half-assed with Sheena. Everything is all in, all the time, full throttle. And that's,
oh, my God.
She's an inspiration. You know, like, she's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome, but she's out there. Oh, my God, she's out there. That is the next – that woman, she needs her own reality show. She's – I love her, too, but holy shit. She's – it's madness. It's madness. So yeah, I'm looking at you. You've actually you've had a great run. I can't see how Invicta would not sign you right away.
I mean, it could be in the cards, you know. I don't know. It's I'm open to it. I definitely wouldn't be, you know, close to that as an idea.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then also your tattoo. Did you draw your tattoo yourself?
I did. Yeah, I designed that. I've actually got, dozens of sketchbooks everywhere. But so like, you know, painting, drawing, playing music, that's kind of my wind down. It's my way to deal with life when I need a coping mechanism, if I'm stressed out, if I'm anxious, if I'm, you know, whatever, or just frustrated, anything like that. It always pours itself out in some kind of art, whether that's music or writing or painting, you know, anything like that. Martial arts as one of those arts as well. It's just kind of been a big part of me, kind of expressive for my soul, if you will. And that's probably why I'm so connected to it and why I can't imagine living without it. It's such a big part of me. But yeah, I designed the phoenix on my arm. It's got a lot of meaning for me, obviously, you know. I mean, this, I guess a lot of people do get tattoos like this for funsies, but I feel like anything I put on me permanently, it's got to have a lot of story built into it. And so obviously the phoenix has a lot of symbolism with me. It's my team is Team Phoenix, that I'm so fortunate to be a part of. And you get the whole rising from the ashes imagery and symbolism there. There's a broken chain behind it, and that's got a lot to do with like the expectations and the kind of all the unhealthy negative things I was allowing to control me in my life. You know, whether it was expectations that I put on myself or expectations that society kind of puts on me or that my family puts on me or my friends many of them incredibly well-intentioned. You know, you tell a kid, you know, you have so much potential. You can do anything you put your mind to. You know, that might push them to greatness or it might freak them out like, oh, wow, that's like, if I don't do great things, then I have failed my potential. And that's right. Kind of a lot of stress for an 8-year-old, you know?
What happened to me, kind of. Yeah, I hear you.
So it's you know, and that's complete. Of course, that's well-intentioned. You wouldn't say that to someone unless it was meant to inspire them or meant to bolster them and say, like, you've got this. You know, you can do anything. You know, you have so much power. And it's the kind of message that can, if it's taken right, is amazing. And it's true. You know, you can do anything you put your mind to, whoever you are, whatever you do in life. You know, the only thing between you and what you want is yourself. Is a willingness to do hard work, and that's it. That is it.
That's very true.
So, I mean, it is true, and at the same time, it's daunting for I think most people. You know, I'm not immune to that by any means, because it means that if you don't have what you want, you're also the reason. You know, if you fail, it's your fault. If you don't achieve what you set out for, it usually means you didn't actually try. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, straightforward things like wins and losses in a cage or on a field or, you know, stuff like that. But like long-term life satisfaction and fulfillment, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
That is in your court.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
100%. I deal with that a lot. Of just like trying to balance everything, whether it's comedy goals or career goals, and then it's also being a good husband goal and being a good father goals. Like, you know, it's all kinds of like, yeah, I could just strictly focus on my career, but then I'm you know, neglecting like my kid. Or if I just focus on my kid all the time, like, just having that balance is just so important. It's also really difficult, you know?
Yeah.
Your nickname is Máquina Asesina. What is that?
Okay, so Máquina Asesina is Spanish for murder machine. Yeah, I know. So the story behind that, it kind of came about. I was hanging out with the team. We were doing dinner one night at somebody's house, and I was saying a lot of like really kind of like innocent, innocuous statements. You know, like just random, not important statements. And then one of my teammates, she was translating them into these like super vicious kind of like mean-spirited statements, you know, like an anger translator. I think that was a Key and Peele skit. they were doing, anger translating. And so she was kind of like mimicking that. And at some point somebody was like, you know, you're making Katie sound like a murder machine. And everybody kind of froze and looked at me and was like, no, don't do it. And then that's going to be your fight name. And I mean, honestly, murder machine just kind of sounds douchey to me.
I love it.
But thank you. But so we kind of like classed it up a little bit with Spanish because I'm half Cuban. My dad's side of the family is from Cuba. You know, I was born in South Dade County, Miami, which is
Cuba.
Basically Cuba. and so that was kind of like a nod to that heritage and that culture, which, you know, I kind of, that speaks to me as well. And then the other half of it is anytime a machine malfunctions. So like I was driving a really old Toyota Camry that, you know, was doing its best, but on its last legs there for a while. And every now and then it would just not start or it would just shut off like randomly. And I would smack the dash or I would kick it if I was stood in front of the hood because I stood there a lot owning that car. I ended up standing in front of that hood for a lot of times. But I would kick it or hit it and it would like rumble back to life somehow. Like that would fix the problem. And it happened, you know, if like a DVD player isn't working, like the DVD skipping or whatever, and I would just like smack the DVD player and suddenly it works. And so Murder Machine kind of took on a new, a new life where it's not that I'm a machine that murders things. It's that the machines are afraid of me because I'll hit them in the
room. Thank you. You're like a Marvel superhero.
My superpower is to frighten machines into working.
I love it. That's a great power. Trust me. We need that power. I need that power on my phone.
Right? If I could only make batteries last longer, that would be a real, there'd be a real market for that skill.
Yeah. So where can people follow you, Murder Machine?
They can find me on Facebook at Katie Makina Asesina Perez, or on Instagram it's Katie Makina Asesina.
Okay.
Those are my two main, and those are really my only platforms.
Okay. And will you like spell that so people, cause my people are not the smartest.
Oh sure. So Katie, Katie Makina Asesina is Makuina Asesina. And Perez, if you're doing the Facebook one, is Perez.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. I look forward to hearing from you. Make sure you don't forget us when you're like this big star and you're the big champion.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again.
Anytime. Take care.
Well, thank you, Katie Perez. And thank you for listening to the new MMA Roasted podcast on Rockfin. Thank you guys so much and have a great day. Have a great life and be good. Trap songs and trap don't some trap don't some trap don't some Tuny songs to hook jum dorpolan Tada stolt and dorpolamoro ta.